Afternoons and Coffee Spoons by Bella Temple. Read by Counteragent. Category Supernatural Humor Gen. Rating PG-13. Summary: the yellow-eyed demon was a little bit delayed in getting around to his psychic kids. To be absolutely honest, when the dreams first started, Sam just assumed he was finally losing his mind. It seemed to him it was about goddamn time anyway, and what did he care about that stupid nurse's aide being pinned to the ceiling? It was a damned robot that wasn't even real blood dripping down on his face. The fire was a bit much, though. He could have done without that. Of course, then that stupid nurse's aide really did get stuck to the ceiling, and not just because the homeopathic magnetic field generator broke down either. Homeopathic magnetic field generators, or HMFGs as they were more commonly known, though Dean liked to call them hummingfuggers, and would often wax philosophic for hours about just how much harder their job was these days, what with those hummingfuggers putting out constant EMF in all sorts of crazy places, were not known for splitting synthetic skin on robots' bellies, nor setting the damned things on fire. If they had been, he was pretty sure Dean would have worked out a way to make them do that on purpose years ago, and neither of them would have had to have put up with the damned RNAs, that's robotic nursing assistant, not ribonucleic acid, and hadn't that taken a while to get used to, and don't even get him started on the great CNA, certified nursing assistant to you, revolt of 2058, anymore, anyway. So while the loss of one RNA was no great tragedy, and the fire had been up on the ceiling, a good 20 feet above Sam's bed, so it had been easy enough to roll off the bed and grab his cane to get out of the room before that really became a threat, Sam still couldn't help but worry just a bit about the fact that he'd spent weeks dreaming of exactly those things happening. And by the way, the smoke stung his nostrils, and the manager reassured him over and over again that the home would be paying for any damages to his health or property, and would he please, please not get litigious, he could be pretty sure that this time it wasn't actually a dream. Which put him sitting in front of the holographic chessboard, pondering not his next move against the computerized opponent, but what spontaneous development of psychic abilities heretofore unknown over the course of his 88 years of life might actually mean. "Dean," he called finally, as he tapped an arthritic finger on the board. "Dean, I think we may have a problem." Dean didn't look up from his faux woodworking workshop, where he was cheerfully melting his fingers together with the nail laser, looking far too proud of himself when the hot, young nail laser instructor, actually young this time, not like Dean's last hot young conquest, who was pushing 50, panicked and rushed over to him. Unfortunately, Marcus, the occupational therapist, stopped the girl short with a shake of his head and went over himself to smack Dean upside the head. Served him right, too. That was the 6th fake hand he'd wrecked this week. "Dean," he tried again, only to be startled by the sudden appearance of Deanie, Dean's great-granddaughter, on his left. "Uncle Sammy," she said gently, ignoring his wince at being called Sammy completely. "You know Grandpa Dean can't hear anything." Sam sighed. "He can, too. He just pretends he's deaf so he doesn't have to deal with people." Deanie rolled her eyes and gently rubbed Sam's shoulder. "Sure he does, Uncle Sammy." Sam would have rolled his eyes right back at the 18-year-old, but that tended to give him a headache these days. Instead, he just reached for his cane, flicking the button on the side that would turn the handle into a bullhorn. The resulting bellow of "Dean!" shook the walls of the recreational facility, bringing books down from their shelves, disrupting projections on the holographic foosball table, and sending Dean sideways out of his chair, nail laser flying. Man, but he loved this cane! He shuffled himself to his feet and followed after Deanie, who was rushing over to make sure Dean was all right. He was, naturally, just fine, and dragging his own 92-year-old ass back into his chair, snarling at anyone who tried to help him. "Bobbit!" he was shouting as he settled himself back into the chair, a classic 2067 model, and hey, when the market on pretty much everything updated by the minute, a 4-year-old model was definitely a classic. Hell, it bordered on an antique. "Bobbit! Get Daddy his Colt!" Deanie sighed, having dealt with this on a daily basis since she started her internship at the old age center. She picked up Dean's real hand and pressed it to her name tag. It's me, Grandpa Dean. Deanie. Dean blinked myopically at her. He still refused to wear glasses, and really there was only so much that laser treatments could do.
Right. I knew that.
Deanie nodded. Of course you did. Dean twisted in his chair to grin back at Sam, who was still making his way over.
Hey, molasses ass! Check it out! My great-granddaughter's freaking hot!
His voice was far louder than necessary, and Sam glared at him. Still, even after all these years, when Dean wanted to con someone, he was damned good at it, even if it meant making everyone around him actually go deaf.
Yeah, Dean, so's the rest of your family.
Dean ignored him completely. Sam had gotten pretty used to that over the years. He shuffled closer, then lowered himself carefully into the perfectly normal, empty chair next to Dean's souped-up motorized one.
Dean, I need to talk to you.
Dean continued to ignore him.
Sammy's jealous, he told Deanie at volume. All his kids are ugly.
Sam rolled his eyes.
Yeah, all one of them. Some of us didn't spread our seed all over the freaking country in our 20s.
Actually, Lee had been a gorgeous child, just like her mother, and Dean knew it as well as Sam did, though he'd never had the chance to meet either her or Jessica. The two brothers had stopped speaking to one another when Sam went away to college, and hadn't reconnected until they were both in their 30s, when their father was taken down by a particularly nasty poltergeist, only just shy of a week after Jessica and Lee had been killed in a car accident. They'd been pretty inseparable after that, something which Sam figured had had a role in the fact that he'd never connected with another woman the way he had with Jess. Not that it mattered, all things considered. Dean had had enough kids for a small army, kept up with every single one of them, and their mothers, and was more than willing to share the joy of fatherhood, grandfatherhood, great-grandfatherhood, and even great-great-grandfatherhood with Sam. These days, the total Winchester clan numbered somewhere around 87 people. Each and every one of them a hunter. It wasn't until they were both back in their room, a suite, actually, with a main sitting room and individual bedrooms for the two of them, far more than they could afford, but Dean's 17th grandson was a master with insurance fraud, that Sam finally managed to sit Dean down, well, get him to stay in one place. Dean was pretty much constantly sitting since a black dog bit off both his legs back in 2047. He hadn't actually lost the hand until a few years later when he started first trying to trick out his wheelchairs and tell him what he thought was going on.
What?
I said, I think I'm having visions.
What? Damn it, Sam! You know I can't hear anything!
Sam rolled his eyes and leaned well into Dean's personal space, putting most of his weight on the cane. Dean's eyes immediately focused on Sam's lips. He really was a hell of a con man, even at 92.
I think I'm having visions. Fishes? Visions. I think they got a cream for that now.
Sam lifted his cane and slammed it down on the floor once, hitting the button for the built-in jackhammer as he did. The room rattled again, and Dean leaned back, scowling.
I'm psychic, you jerk!
Dean was still staring at his mouth.
If you're so freaking psychic, how come you can't figure out I'm freaking deaf?
Sam groaned and shuffled over to the stove to make them both some SpaghettiOs.
Deanie!
Hey, Grandpa Dean, Uncle Sammy.
Deanie grinned at them as she came over and straddled the extra chair at the holographic chessboard.
Uncle Sammy, you got Grandpa Dean to play chess?
What's she saying, Sam? Is she calling you a little bitch for making me play chess?
Sam sighed, leaning his chin on his hand.
I know you can hear, Dean. How's your brother? What's his face, Deanie, honey?
Ugh, and stop pretending to be senile. Jesus. Deanie shot him a grin.
Hey, there's 39 of us in my generation. He can't be expected to remember all our names.
Used to remember every name of every goddamn person we saved when we were hunting. He can remember his own great-great-grandkids.
Sam grumbled, then blinked.
39?
Betsy Jo had her third last night.
Dean, who'd been blinking steadily at both of them like he was watching a tennis match, pumped his real fist in the air.
39! Beat that with a stick!
Deanie grinned, then dug out a photo cube, which she set down on top of the chessboard.
A life-sized hologram of a sleeping infant immediately sprung to life, the name Arun Harvel Haryadi floating in the space just below the dark-skinned child's chin. Dean examined both the child and the name, the same doofy grin he'd worn at the pictures of all 38 of little Arun's cousins spreading across his face. "Betsy, Joe, and Nitin are both doing just fine," Dini assured them. Once she'd gotten Dean's attention again, "Shanta and Mary are staying with Mama Joni until they're ready to come home." Dean nodded, still grinning, and turned to waggle his eyebrows at Sam. 39, he crowed again. Sam sighed. "Yeah, Dean, I heard her, just like you did." Dean rolled his eyes, then poked at the holographic baby for a few moments. "Can't wait to meet him in person." Sam felt his frustration die into a fond exasperation. "Yeah," he said finally, looking down at where Dean's finger was just barely poking into the hologram's belly. "Me too." Dean's own smile softened. 39, Sammy. We got 39 great-grandkids. "I know, Dean." Deanie reached out to rub both the brothers on their shoulders and said a quiet goodbye, claiming she had to get back to work. "The windows won't resalt themselves." She pressed a kiss to Dean's temple as she gathered up the cube, then another to Sam's before she started walking away. Dean leaned his head against his half-melted false hand and peered at Sam knowingly. "You look like crap, Sam. Those rashes acting up on you again?" Sam groaned. "So, let me get this straight." Dean peered steadily down at the type pad he'd finally forced Sam to write down his issue in. "You dreamed Robot Ratchet would die a flaming death on your ceiling for weeks before it did." He tapped the screen, then turned that peering gaze on Sam. "And you didn't tell me about it?" "I told you 6 times, Dean. You refused to listen. For the last time, you senile moron, I'm deaf!" Sam growled. It turned into a hacking cough halfway through, but he brought his cane around, hitting the button for the bullhorn, and raised it to his lips. The damn bullhorn exploded. Sam let out a squawk and dropped the cane, falling backwards into a nearby chair. "The hell?" Dean's hand hovered over a button on the arm of his wheelchair that Sam had never noticed before. His wrinkled lips curved up in a smirk. "That damn thing would be the reason I'm freaking deaf, you moron. Psychic my left nut." Sam sighed, not bothering to try and get back up from his chair. "You don't have a left nut anymore, Dean." Dean blinked. "Oh, yeah." Dean still wasn't taking Sam's vision seriously, right up until the moment that Sam vanished while on a mission to get his chair-bound brother an extra slice of boysenberry pie. Sam had to assume that Dean started taking him seriously then, not that he ever expected to find out. He woke up lying on a broken-down door that looked to be about as stiff and useless as his entire body felt in the frosty weather. He poked his wrist palm a few times, but the damned thing was about as frozen as his joints and refused to connect with any of the thousands of available satellites on any of the available networks.
"Competition, my ass. No better than any damned monopoly now, is it?"
He sighed heavily, and after about 20 minutes worth of grunting and grabbing onto things and hoping he didn't get a staph infection from a misplaced splinter or something, he finally made it to his feet. He was really, really missing his cane right about now. "Hello?" He shuffled his way slowly forward into the oddly 19th-century little town, his hands tucked into the sleeves of his old, threadbare sweatshirt. "Anybody?" A whispery, rattling voice echoed from behind him, and Sam wished fervently for some salt. Dean was right, damn it. A good hunter should never retire. Why the hell hadn't he listened? He spun, well, turned as quickly as he could, which wasn't very, the way the cold was making his joints ache, to look for the source of the specterish noise. A man about his own age leaned back against the doorway of what looked like it might have once been a post office, or possibly a brothel. He wore scrub clothes and a backpack-mounted personal oxygen tank, but his eyes were bright and sharp as they watched Sam move. He spoke again, the same horrible, dead voice.
"Dude!"
He took a deep breath at the end of the prolonged syllable.
"Where are we?"
"How the hell should I know?"
The man shrugged and limped slowly from his perch by the door, across the boardwalk, to lean heavily against one of the support poles for the balcony above him. And yeah, Sam decided, that definitely used to be a brothel.
"Don't think," gasped Wheeze, "we're in Oklahoma anymore."
"That's Kansas."
"This is Kansas?"
"No, the line, never mind." The man started wheezing, and Sam wondered if there was actually any oxygen flowing through the cannula under his nose. Then he straightened abruptly.
"Artistic license!"
he howled, and Sam realized the wheezing was actually laughter. Finally, he extended a stained, shaking hand.
"Name's Andy. You?"
"Sam," Sam said, and shook his hand. As it turned out, there were three others who were stranded here just the way Sam and Andy were. Two women, Ava and Lily, and a cranky old vet named Jake. They all shuffled together into the brothel to sort things out, which, naturally, included a long inventory of their various aches and pains, and something a bit more interesting.
"Powers?" Ava grumbled. "Nope, no powers. Dreaming dead people, but I've been doing that for years." "I touch people and their hearts stop," Lily offered, tucked back away from the others, her hands buried in an oversized sweater. "Didn't think it was anything until it was my doctor. Only 30 years old, he didn't have any right to have any heart conditions."
"Mind control," was Andy's contribution. "Can tell people what to do."
His voice was as papery and shredded as usual.
"Doesn't do me a whole lot of good when my voice is shot."
He wheezed quietly for a moment, then continued.
"Would have laid off the bong a little if I'd have known."
Jake's power was obvious, considering that he'd already carried in both Andy and Ava into the brothel. At the same time, no less.
"So what the hell are we all doing here?" Sam wondered aloud. No one knew.
In the end, trying to figure out what to do about all of them being there was just about as difficult as figuring out why they were all there in the first place. Lily was all for just walking out, but that was easy for her to say. She and Jake still had their original knees. Sam wanted to hole up in one of the abandoned buildings with as much iron and salt as they could all manage, but no one much wanted to listen to him. The general consensus seemed to be that Sam was completely off his nut. And that was too bad, too, according to Ava, who seemed perfectly happy to rattle on at length about how Sam was still pretty cute, and even had most of his own hair, and she hadn't gotten any since her husband had passed away 10 years ago. The fact that they were all born in 1983, and all outlived their significant others, seemed to be something at least. Well, until Sam pointed out that his older brother was still around, too, and had managed to rig up his wheelchair to fire tiny incendiary devices at the push of a button. They didn't believe him about the demons, but they were perfectly willing to believe that. And wasn't that just the story of Sam's life? No one believed in the supernatural, but they all believed in Dean. It grew dark eventually, with all of them still sitting in their circle of chairs, and they nodded off, one by one, until only Sam was awake, sitting up and trying to figure out how to contact at least one of the members of his extended hunter family.
"I wouldn't try it, Sammy boy," a voice said from behind them. "Wouldn't want any of those cute little bitches getting hurt now, would you?"
Sam turned about as quickly as he could and found himself looking into sickly yellow eyes grinning at him out of a middle-aged male face.
"Who the hell are you, then?"
"Me? I'm the one you've been trying to warn your new little friends about all night."
The man walked up and set his hands firmly on the arms of Sam's chair.
"The one your daddy just never got around to finding, did he?"
Sam frowned at that. It had been so long since he and Dean had given up on finding any leads to the thing that got their mother that it took him a moment to remember that that was what had gotten them started in the business in the first place.
"You bastard," Sam replied, not with much enthusiasm, he had to admit. "You stuck that RNA to my ceiling too, didn't you?" "What can I say, Sammy? She got in my way."
"She was a robot," Sam pointed out. The demon frowned.
"Really?"
He peered closer at Sam. "How old are you?"
88.
The demon straightened, looking around at the sleeping forms of his companions.
80 crap. He reached up to rub his forehead. "I knew I shouldn't have let Beelzebub talk me into that game of darts. I'm 66 years late.
Sam started laughing. Still, better late than never, and the demon started to grin again. How'd you like to know what you're all doing here? Sam shrugged. Pretty sure you're going to tell me anyway. And he did. In a narrative that involved a fair amount of gloating and gratuitous flashbacks, the demon explained his plan for Sam and all the children like him, up to and including this little free-for-all to the death battle royale he had planned out. That last bit got Sam laughing again. You think we're going to kill each other? Andy and I can barely walk. Ava's so busy reliving her long and happy marriage with a man apparently hung like a horse that she never got around to figuring out how to kill anybody. And Jake and Lily just want to go home. Hell, that's all any of us want. 66 years ago, you maybe would have had a chance. Now you're just lucky my Latin's a little rusty. The demon winked. We'll see about all that, Sammy boy. We'll see. Sam woke to a strangely familiar rumbling noise in the distance. He thought it might be thunder, but his knees weren't aching enough for there to be rain coming. He sat up as straight as he could in his uncomfortable chair and peered around. Where's Ava? Haven't seen her since we woke up, Jake answered. Probably got spooked off by that yellow-eyed bastard trying to tell us we're going to kill each other. You dreamed him too?
We all did. Lily said, at not much more than a whisper, a small smile on her face.
Well, snap too. I'm getting tired of all this nonsense anyway. Death might be nice.
Not me, Andy rasped. I still got a bong load at home with my name on it. Best damned eyesight in the county, man.
At least, Sam was pretty sure that's what he said. It was hard to hear him over the rumbling. Definitely not thunder, but Sam had heard it before. Then, an obnoxious electronic horn started beeping Dixie, and Sam brought a shaking palm to his face.
Well, he said, that'd be my brother.
They all shuffled their way outside, Jake carrying Andy like he was a 1-pound sack of flour, and watched as the Winchester Clan minibus, local chapter SD-26, came rolling in right over the fallen trees, rocks, and saplings that blocked the what Sam could now see had once been a road. Grand Dame Babette Winchester sitting behind the wheel with her father, Dean himself, grinning away beside her. And the yellow-eyed man was suddenly there, standing in the minibus's path, a look of shock and fury on his face.
You!
Babette, honey, Dean could be heard saying, even over the roar of the engine, hand Daddy his Colt.
No can do, Dad. Babette stuck her arm out the window, an antique gun in her hand. She lowered her chin to peer through the distance end of her trifocals.
You know I have better aim.
And she did.
Told you I was having visions.
What? Can't hear you, Sammy, I'm deaf.
Sam leaned against his new cane in the middle of the street in Cold Oak, looking over his extended family. Deanie and her brother George, and come on now, was that such a hard name to remember? Just because it wasn't some variation of Dean, Sam, John, Mary, Bobby, Jim, Caleb, Joe, or Ellen, were telling some sort of joke to Andy which had him doubled over in wheezes. Deanie's Uncle Al was helping Lily into a pair of leather gloves, her great-aunt Samantha trading war stories with Jake.
5 generations of Winchesters. I can't believe it.
Babette set her arm gently over his shoulders, looking to where Dean was rolling out of a barn with a happy-looking Ava perched on his lap.
Just be happy that Dad talked my son-in-law's family into hacking into the satellite system and running a facial recognition software on the photos. She shrugged. Not that it was hard to do. The Patel Haryadi branch was frantic, trying to figure out a way they could help find you. Nitin was even talking about flying over from New Delhi, and he's got little Arun to look after.
Sam nodded.
Was wondering how you all found me. Of course, if Dean had just listened to me in the first place.
He's deaf, Uncle Sam.
He is not. He's just pretending. I know my brother.
He is, Babette countered. El there checked him out himself. Been deaf as a brick since 2059. Sam blinked and swallowed.
Oh. Well, he's still a stubborn jerk.
Babette laughed.
Well, yes.
She patted him on the shoulder, then went to go tug Ava off her father's lap. Dean came motoring on up to smack Sam in the hip.
Hey, bitch, Saved your ass again.
Sam grinned and made sure he was leaning close enough for Dean to be able to read his lips before replying. 5 generations, man. It took you 5 generations of Winchesters to find me. Dean broke into a broad grin. Look closer, Sammy. It's 6. Dean immediately looked at Deanie, figuring she'd gotten pregnant or something while he wasn't looking, but the 18-year-old's stomach was still as flat as ever, and she was wearing her birth control bracelet. He wondered if he should ask if George was pregnant, but then he saw him. John Winchester, looking just as he must have the day he went out on his last hunt so many years before, flickered in and out of sight on the edge of the tree line. He caught Sam's eyes and nodded, briefly, before vanishing from sight.
Dean, that was...
Sam cut himself off, realizing he wasn't facing his brother, then turned and started again.
That was...
Yep.
Dean patted his hip again. Dunno how, since we salted and burned his ass over 50 years ago, but that was him. He was the one who clued us in on where to find that old colt.
Wow.
Yep.
Dean started rolling off, slow enough that Sam could hang on the back of his chair and follow along.
Now come on, bitch. I promised Andy I'd show him the armrest-mounted mini-cannon.
Sam grimaced. That's why you're deaf, Dean.
What?
Dean twisted and shot Sam a small wink.
Sammy, I can't hear you bitching at me. I'm deaf.
Right. And if anyone could fool the state-of-art equipment that L no doubt tested him with, it was Dean. So Sam did the only thing he could do. He smacked Dean upside the head.
Ow, bitch!
Jerk. End. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for the author at bellatemple.livejournal.com.